Our scripture reading is on the back of your bulletin, and I invite you to follow along with that as I read. And let us hear the word of God together. From 2 Peter, the first chapter, Simon Peter, identifying himself, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And may the Lord add His blessing to our reading of His word and our hearing of it. Can you believe we have already had our 2014 Christmas? Well, I'd say we had a pretty good one. Nice season of Advent, a great Christmas cantata. Thank you, choir, all of you out there. And an enjoyable Christmas Eve service for the many members and special guests we had gathered last Wednesday night. I'm sorry for any of you who were unable to be there, but I know that you had your reason for not being there. One who told me he was real sorry he wasn't here, he just forgot it. Yeah, but was reminded very shortly thereafter. And I won't call that person's name, but he knows who he is. And I trust that the Lord filled and blessed your Christmas day on Thursday. And so when Christmas passes, it is the inevitable signal that the whole calendar year is rapidly coming to a close. Oh, and by the way, allow me to have this personal privilege for just a moment to say thank you to the many of you who are able to come to our home and join with other neighbors of ours for a Bosquito gathering at the pastor's home for some Christmas cheer. Sue and I had fun and believe that all who came probably did also. Thank you for coming. Now, as we come to the end of one year and approach the beginning of a new year, it is no doubt to the advantage of all of us to look backward and count our many blessings. And you know, when we take time to do that, you know, really take some time, there is no doubt in my mind that any and all of us will find tremendous and numerous blessings. That's always been true of followers of Christ, and we, you know, we love to sing about it. There shall be showers of blessing, you know, number 393. And count your blessings, name them one by one, number 296. And that same kind of inspiration is in parts of many others of our hymns. And then the next great advantage that we ought to take is to take a look forward and make our plans to cooperate with the Lord. Yeah, that's what I said. Make our plans to cooperate with the Lord. The God-assured truth is God already has great plans for each of us in this new year just ahead of us, and it's fast approaching. 3 more days of 2014, and boom, 2015 is here. So with those two ways I was thinking we ought to be contemplating, I came up with the title of today's sermon, Looking Backward and Forward. Neat little title, isn't it? Well, so much for my brilliant title. Seriously, let's contemplate a little of the past and a lot of the future of what God has in store for us as we consent to receive it from Him. The first few verses of our text from Peter's second epistle give us great opportunity to reflect and look at some of the blessings that God has granted us in the past. It also provides us with some words of instruction and words of encouragement to live a life in which we are growing spiritually and serving significantly. Peter addresses his message, and I quote, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. You see, when he says, have received faith as precious as ours, he was writing from the perspective of an aged pastor who was living on the edge of looking forward to eternity. And he was recalling what had gotten him there, a preciousness of faith. And then verses 3 and 4 speak of the blessings of the past. These two verses, 3 and 4, are a spiritual treasure trove that reveal the blessings that God will impart on believers through faith in Jesus Christ. And as you've been blessed by God, it should be a measure of what you can recall as what's been happening in your life in the past year. Peter calls our attention, as his readers, to the exceeding great and precious gifts from God to us through Jesus Christ. It says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. And isn't that what we always yearn for? A godly life? And well, Peter says, and I believe him, that God's power has given us everything we need to have that godly life. This is how we are to achieve it. I'm going to give you Peter's words. Through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. And that's a great reminder to me that growing in my knowledge of God is a key to receiving everything I need for a godly life. Then he goes on to give further clarification, verse 4. Through these, that is, our knowledge of His glory and goodness, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. And I take the divine nature to be a godly life here and now, and eternal life with the divine Almighty God in the future. That's pretty much what I meant a moment ago when I identified Peter as an aged pastor living on the edge of looking forward to eternity and recalling what had gotten him there. He speaks of the exceeding great and precious promises. You know, the Bible is a massive record of God's promises to His people. The Old Testament, for instance, contains a continuing series of promises concerning the Messiah who was to come to be Savior to God's people. And Peter had been eyewitness to the exact fulfillment of these exceeding great and precious promises in the person and life of his teacher, his master, Jesus Christ. Then Jesus himself made many promises to his disciples. These are recorded in the New Testament Gospels. So this is what happens. We will greatly enrich our spiritual life and deepen our faith as we discover these promises, as we claim them for our own, and then as we move forward, depending on the Lord to keep His promises, even as people of faith have done in the past. discover these promises. Well, how do we do that? Is that a blessing you can count from the past year and even the years behind 2014? Promises of God discovered for your life? Now, this is not very hard, but it is profound. Bible knowledge. Through growing, reading, studying, that's where the promises are to be found. They're where they're to be discovered. And we do that in several ways, and the more the better. There's private devotional reading and private contemplation. There's family Bible reading time and discussion together as a family of those readings. There's group Bible studies, such as a Sunday school class, or perhaps even a small group of friends at a regular weekly time in someone's home. And even paying close attention to Bible truths revealed in your pastor's sermons. Maybe even taking notes for a further personal study. Now, not to be nosy or anything, but how many of those several opportunities have you taken hold of this past year to discover for yourself the exceeding great and precious promises that the great apostle Peter has suggested are there? Now, the only way that you can claim those promises is after you have discovered them. And when you claim them, then you move forward, depending upon the Lord to fulfill the promises as He has faithfully done in the past. All of that is to remind you, if I may, of a sentence that I pronounced a couple of minutes ago. We will greatly enrich our spiritual life and deepen our faith as we will discover these promises, claim them for our own, and move forward, depending on the Lord to keep His promises, even as people of faith have done in the past. Moving forward means for you, as Peter goes on to say, that through them you may participate in the divine nature. The divine nature, let me define that for you a bit. Faith in the promises of God makes possible, first of all, the new birth, your conversion experience. Now, the new birth doesn't produce a divinity in you, but it does mean that the divine character, the divine nature, has been conferred on you in a birth's embryonic form. You're just getting started. But you got that. And this new beginning of a divine nature provides the believer with the possibility of experiencing the holiness, the tenderness, the kindness, the gentleness, and the power of God. Then, by every means possible at our command, we should cooperate with the Holy Spirit as He seeks to develop this new nature that came to us in the miracle of the new birth. Read on with me now, the end of verse 4. As Peter speaks of a truth that we all seem to have a very difficult time grasping. Look hard at this with me, if you will. The truth that the divine nature and sin in life do not help happily coexist. Peter says this way, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. And here's what he means. Through our experience with Jesus Christ, we as believers receive the potential for release from the powerful evil forces at work in our world. They're there, but we receive the power to begin resisting those. Christ has granted not only forgiveness from sin, but has also given the power of the Holy Spirit in us to deliver us from the lure and the forces of sin. Through faith in Christ and through obedience to Him, we can be victorious over all attacks of evil, all attacks of the devil. The book of James reinforces this masterful concept. Masterful, yes, but it's very simple. James 4:7 says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. We somehow forget that. once again with Peter's words, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. We see all of what I have just said reflected upon with Peter's spiritual guidance is what we can have had, hopefully will have had, in past weeks and months and years of our life in Christ, looking backward. Now, looking to the opportunity of the future, we'll look at verses 5 through 7. The past being accomplished, the past being a thing of the past, the gift of new life for our just-to-begin future has been given to those of us who have already put our faith in the promises of God. This new life, however, is not a done thing, but rather is like a divine seed that needs to be cultivated and developed by serious and sincere care on our part. Spiritual growth does not take place either automatically or accidentally. In recognition of this, Peter encourages us, his readers, to make every effort. We got to do it. And I believe Peter would encourage us to complete that effort by cooperating with the Spirit of God in developing these magnificent graces he enumerates in these verses, these three verses, 5 through 7. Graces that are associated with growing spiritual maturity. So what I'm suggesting is that as we enter this new year, 2015, we should give careful consideration to these words of encouragement from the Apostle Peter. Make every effort to add to your faith. Okay, he starts there. You got faith, now add to. Faith, you see, is the human response to God's grace that makes possible this gift of new life. Faith is the basic foundation for all spiritual growth and service. And Peter challenges us to supplement our faith with several Christian graces that are needed for developing growth in Christ-like living. Seemingly, in Peter's inspirational blueprint, each of the graces that are mentioned grows out of the preceding grace. Now, the word that's translated add in our text, in what you're reading there, that word in the Greek probably would be more correctly translated by the word supply. And so instead of using the word add, I'm going to use the word supply with its meaning from the Greek language, which Peter used for writing. The word supply was used by the Greeks for the action of furnishing the provisions and the supplies for an army. So that's what you give in order for something else to be useful. So Peter stated that Christians are to supplement and furnish their faith with these virtues, which are actually the pieces of equipment that are needed for living a genuine Christian life. The following then is Peter's inspired blueprint for our spiritual growth and our progress. To your faith, supply goodness. Faith makes possible the power by which goodness is to be developed. And the word goodness in this context means moral excellence or noble character. It's not just a kind of a tame sort of word. It's not a passive word. It is active. It's an active word. It means moving, always moving forward. And to goodness, supply knowledge. In practicing goodness, effort is put forth to gain knowledge, which is the practical skill of choosing the right and rejecting the wrong. This knowledge is gained by making frequent and diligent study of the principles of God's Word. We've talked about ways in which you can do that. To knowledge, supply self-control. Self-restraint, self-control enables you to curb your evil impulses and resist the lures of all the pervasive sin in the world that surrounds you. And believe me, it's out there. It's out there everywhere, thanks to Satan. And remind you again from the book of James, resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's classic self-control. to self-control supply perseverance. Other descriptive words for this grace of character are endurance or steadfastness or fortitude or patience. Perseverance is that attitude of determination that enables you to stay the course until you win the victory. To perseverance supply godliness. Godliness is that trait of character that characterizes the life of a person who lives continually, and I would quote someone here, as having his eye upon him who is invisible. Godliness is keeping your eyes on Jesus. Perhaps this grace refers to a continual growth of the divine nature that you received in the first birth, the new birth. To godliness, supply mutual affection. The genuine worship of God will affect one's attitude towards your fellow human beings. 1 John 4:20 gives us greater understanding of the necessity of this grace. 1 John 4:20 says, "Whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen." I don't need to explain that any further. And finally, to mutual affection supply love. The crown of Christian graces is love. The Apostle Paul's affirmation is that love is the chief gift of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 13:13. These three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. John 21, verses 15 through 17, records that famous sequence where Jesus inquired three times concerning Peter's love for him as the Son of God. He said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Jesus asked over and over, three times. It took Peter a while, but he finally understood the question. Other examples are found in Peter's first epistle. We're reading the second one. This first one where he recognized and commended the brothers, the believers' love for Christ. 1 Peter 1:8. "Though you have not seen him, you love him." Commending them for that love. And where he encouraged love within the Christian brotherhood. 1 Peter 1:20. "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from a pure heart." The crown of Christian grace is love. Therefore, all of those Christian graces that Peter has given us here in this text, eight in all, and progressing and building from one to another, from the foundation of faith to the crowning one of love, these are growth points. They can be growth points for our new year in Christ. But to finish this out, well, finish it out for just now, Peter was concerned that his readers understand how we are to experience the benefits that flow from growing into spiritual maturity. He was eager that they of the past, we of the present, do not fall prey to the tragic results of what can turn out to be persistent spiritual immaturity. Sort of, if you will, the opposite to persistent spiritual growth. He wrote in what we read as verses 8 and 9, "For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins." In other words, by adding these Christian graces, you will be assured that you can avoid both idleness and unfruitfulness in your life and in your deepening experience of Christian salvation. Thus, the believer who strives for growth will experience meaningful activity and fruitful productivity and spiritual insights into the meaning of life. On the other hand, Peter points out that if you do not put forth a sincere effort, in this case, his eight-step blueprint of developing grace is to grow toward Christ-likeness. You will suffer from a blindness to the joy of your salvation. Forgetting that your sins are forgiven, suffering on and on with the burden of them. And the consequences of that are that you are greatly limited in forming a true perspective concerning the things that really matter. That's not a good consequence. Well, let's see. Tomorrow is Monday, and then there's Tuesday, and Wednesday is New Year's Eve. Wednesday's the end of 2014. We're swiftly approaching the end of another year in the journey of life. And realistically, nothing can be done now helpfully concerning the past except to admit and confess past failures, but also to remember and rejoice in previous blessings from God. But God's future is right there before us, right out there. With God's help, let's each of us respond to the great Apostle Peter's challenge for the future, to grow in Christian graces. And as God's family here at Bosque Del Baptist Church, let's be of the same mind. Let's all think together to grow in grace, in these graces that are outlined so helpfully for us here by God's servant Peter. And thus, we will move together forward for Christ.
Amen.
Amen's a good word.
Amen.
Amen.